This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson, and this is October 17th, Alaska Day, a KYUK holiday, but we are having a storm-related newscast today to bring the latest news for the region. A massive airlift is underway as Alaska National Guard planes and helicopters take people from villages devastated by the remnants of Typhoon Halong. Yesterday, hundreds of people from Kipnuk and Quigilingok boarded military transport planes headed for Anchorage, leaving their homes, belongings, and communities behind. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, they're not sure when or if they'll be able to return.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you coming on board, please come aboard as much as you can and fill in where there's spots available.
More than 200 people are crowding into the belly of a massive C-17 military transport plane on the tarmac at the Bethel Airport. They're headed for shelters in Anchorage at the Alaska Airlines Center at the University of Alaska Anchorage and the Egan Center downtown. Luke Amick Jr. is sitting on a green military cot in the National Guard hangar waiting for his turn to board.
Kipnuk is our hometown and we've been living there all our life. Everything is lost now. All the memories and how it looks and how it looked like. All the houses are gone.
Amick's house avoided major flooding. Water came within an inch before it started to recede. But he watched other homes float by as wind-driven seawater rose higher than it ever has in recorded history. One crashed into his house. It all just seems surreal.
I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I still can't believe what's happening right now.
Not everyone from Kipnuk and another hard-hit village, Quigilingok, is going to Anchorage. Some are staying with family and friends in Bethel or surrounding villages. Still others are staying behind.
There's about 100, maybe 50 to 100 people in Kipnuk and probably about 200 to 300 in Quig that are staying in the village.
Lieutenant Colonel Brendan Holbrook with the Alaska Army National Guard is leading the airlift here in Bethel. And he says it's not just people in Kipnuk and Quigilingok who need help.
We're also going to send helicopters to multiple villages today, to include Nightmute and Tintiliak, to do an environmental assessment. And while we're on the ground there, we'll let them know that we do have the ability to evacuate as necessary. From what I understand, there are people out in those villages that are looking to come in to go to Anchorage as well.
From there, their future is unclear. Jeremy Zidek, a spokesperson for the state's emergency response, says officials are first moving people out of harm's way to large shelters. After that, Zidek says they'll look for accommodations with some more privacy, hotel rooms, temporary apartments, that kind of thing.
No one wants to stay in a big, giant room with cots, and we understand that people can't do that for very long, and we want to really find other solutions for them as fast as possible.
He says the state is not ordering people to leave, and for those sticking around, he says responders are working to restore essential services like power, water, and communications. After that, he says National Guard members can start mucking out and repairing damaged homes, hopefully before winter. He's encouraging everyone who suffered losses in the storm to register for the state's individual assistance program. He says that'll help emergency managers connect survivors with funding for housing, repairs, medical expenses, and more. And Zidek says it also helps state officials coordinate assistance from volunteer groups like Samaritan's Purse.
If they register for that individual assistance, then we know what those needs are. And if our programs don't cover it, we can reach out to all of these other partners that we have, and maybe we can address those needs.
But recovery will take time. Back at the hangar, Rihanna Jimmy is standing in line with her boyfriend and two daughters. Her home in Kipnuk floated off its foundation during the flooding.
For the sake of my girls, I tried to stay calm when we started floating. The water started coming in. I don't know where we were going.
When the sun rose, she found her home had come to rest at the Kipnuk Airport. She's grateful to be alive. Like Luke Amick Jr., Rihanna Jimmy can't quite wrap her mind around what's happened to her home.
I still can't believe anything that's happening. It feels like a really bad dream.
When or if the community rebuilds, she hopes it's on higher ground. Reporting in Bethel, I'm Eric Stone.
For some of the hundreds flying out of the villages in western Alaska, it's not a question of when, but if they will be able to return. That included residents of Quiguilingoc who were boarding military helicopters yesterday with the few possessions they could carry. Northern Journal reporter Nat Herz, working with KYUK, flew into the Kuskokwim Delta village yesterday morning. Herz told Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove that the devastation was visible miles away.
11 or 12 miles from the village, we started seeing these like kind of white spots on the tundra. And a guy I was traveling with kind of pointed out, he was like, that's just trash. That's debris that had floated all the way from the village. And as we got closer, we saw overturned boats, overturned snow machines, and kind of finally saw the village, just everything super waterlogged and wet and soggy here. And, you know, the village is just kind of, it's barely above the ocean, barely above the river that comes through town here. And pretty waterlogged at this point, although it feels like the floodwaters have largely receded.
Are the folks that have evacuated, are they able to take much with them, or is it just kind of what they can carry?
You know, I think they are able to bring like at least sort of a couple bags. Yesterday, I think folks in Kipnuk were being told they couldn't bring their dogs along, which was, I think, really hard. Today, they were actually being told if they were able to keep their dog close or in a kennel or whatever, they could actually bring dogs. I mean, I think a lot of people lost the vast majority of their stuff anyway. But, you know, certainly like this is people leaving their homes, not sure if they ever will come back, with basically like the clothes on their back and maybe a piece of luggage or two. But, you know, it's devastating.
Wow. Yeah. And I mean, for the people that have stayed behind, what are you hearing from them, and what did they say about why they're staying?
I mean, I don't know enough yet to totally understand. I mean, it doesn't feel like between here and Kipnuk, people are really expecting that large numbers are going to be here through the winter right now, just because everything is so messed up and there's just not that much time before freeze up. I think there may be some folks to kind of keep the lights on and maybe do some like real essential repairs. And then just sort of as far as the kinds of stuff they've experienced, like pretty just unimaginable, like homes being lifted up off their foundations and floated away with people inside them. And that's, you know, I think that's kind of the worst of it. Like I was just talking to a guy who was evacuating his family from his house to the school, which was sort of the shelter here in the village. And, you know, he described he was in a sort of convoy of four-wheelers, and he was the last one and kind of had to cross this torrent of rushing water that felt like it was about to sort of sweep them away. I think, you know, the level of trauma that, you know, adults who feel a level of responsibility have experienced, but also the children who maybe like don't totally understand what's going on here. It's hard to fathom. Like one woman I was talking to about what she'd experienced, and we were having what felt like a pretty normal conversation about a hard subject. And then I asked her, you know, if she expected to come back or wanted to come back. And she just, you know, immediately started sobbing and, you know, said no, and was just wailing like no. You know, I think it just feels like some really scary, gnarly stuff happened here that people are going to be processing and living with for probably the rest of their lives. But, you know, I guess I just would say, like, also the level of resiliency to live here, like, you have to, this is a subsistence, mixed sort of subsistence cash economy here, but, like, people are living on the land. They know how to survive here. And I think, like, the way that people are pulling together just to support each other through this, like, emotional trauma, like, I've been watching just, like, these really long hugs all day. And, you know, there's like really kind of wonderful communal meals at the school. Like folks are helping each other out to like get their subsistence foods out of their freezers before they thaw. You know, people are figuring it out, as well as sort of also just sort of suffering and processing the trauma.
Yeah, that seems really hard. So, I mean, it also seems like there's a huge question about not only would they be able to rebuild by winter, which is right around the corner here, but maybe a big question about whether they can rebuild at all.
I think sort of from an official standpoint, I don't want to speculate on whether it's kind of the local tribal government or the kind of regional tribal organizations that are coordinating some of the response, or the state of Alaska or the federal government might be sort of choosing or contemplating. I think there's certainly a lot of people, a surprising number of people I've talked to today and yesterday, who basically said, you know, we do not expect to go home, or don't expect to go home for a long time, or expect that maybe one day we'll return to our village and our home there as like a summer place. But, you know, we're moving inland.
That was Northern Journal reporter Nat Herz, who's working with KYUK and joined Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove from Quiguilingog. This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yoktun Ganumchit coming up.